Welcome to Tycoons of Small Biz, a podcast designed for small business owners, the backbone of the American economy. Join us as our hosts, Austin and Landon, share insights and experiences as small business owners, active investors and operators who have started, bought, sold, and grown several successful businesses. Tycoons is powered by Backbone Planning Partners, a business consulting and wealth management firm built specifically to serve small and medium-sized businesses.
Hello, Tycoons, and welcome to today's episode of Tycoons of Small Biz. I'm your host, Austin Peterson, coming to you from Gilbert, Arizona. And my co-host, Landon Mance, is today in Las Vegas, but in the next few weeks, we will start recording this podcast from Boise, Idaho. Right, Landon?
That is right. I cannot tell you where, at what location I will be recording from there because we don't have office space there. So at least the first maybe 1 to 3 episodes that I record will probably be from our new home out there, but TBD.
Yeah, well, we'll look forward to it. It'll be a great place for me to escape to in the summer heat. So I may just show up on your doorstep one day and say, I'm here. Here are my golf clubs. Let's get out and do something.
Yeah. Well, that's why we got the 5th bedroom with the ensuite so that you can be comfortable. You've got your own bathroom, even your own door to come in and out of at your leisure. We want you to be comfortable, relaxed, and of course have your privacy. So you're locked in.
I appreciate that because I have that 5th bedroom with all of the stuff that you just mentioned. And it happens to be the room that I'm in right now. I use as my home office and I've never had it set up for you to stay in. I've made you come in the normal door. I've made you go up the stairs, sleep in my son's old bedroom. So that should be a lesson to me that I should treat you as well as you're planning to treat me.
Absolutely. I'm just really trying to raise the bar so that it essentially forces you to meet me at that same level.
Yeah. Well, what our listeners don't know, and this is by the way, going to fit right in with today's subject of tax strategies and different ways to tax plan as a business. I plan on buying an airplane that we will buy through the business to reduce income, help with taxes, et cetera, that I'll be flying. So I'm assuming that the lot is big enough to put a private airstrip on, right?
We might have to move a couple things around in the backyard, but yeah, we can make that happen.
All right. I appreciate you looking out. So you heard it here, ladies and gentlemen, he is absolutely fine with us buying an airplane through the business. So,
yep. I saw the perfect one at Walmart. It was $199. It's got 2 remotes. You can land it anywhere. It'll check all the boxes for you, sir.
All right. Well, we're trying to make light of a topic that a lot of people think is pretty boring, and quite honestly, it can be, but it's important. Tax planning is what I would call critical or crucial for business owners to understand, and so it happens to be one of the biggest expenses, if not the biggest expense that a business owner has. And so planning strategically and doing everything that you can to plan appropriately and employ all the different strategies that are available to you can definitely save you thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of dollars, maybe even hundreds of thousands of dollars that allows you to free up that cash for reinvestment. So we're going to talk in this episode about some of the top tax deductions that are out there, how to time expenses and income, and then we're going to talk about the importance of year-round tax planning. And here's, you know, kind of a spoiler alert for you. Most CPAs, so if you're listening and you're thinking about the CPA that you work with from a business standpoint, and when you meet with them, it's typically just about preparing what it is that you did. And they might give you one piece of advice, and it happens to be one of the things that we'll talk about here, but that's typically as far as most CPAs go from a tax planning standpoint. So I would call those guys tax preparers. And I would recommend that as you guys move forward as business owners, that you have somebody who actually does tax planning. So Landon, what do you think?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, we always joke, like, you know, everyone jokes, like, there's two things in life that you can always count on: death and taxes. And generally, meeting with your tax professional, doing tax planning, it's not something that you necessarily wake up and jump out of bed to go tackle for the day, to do your tax planning. But we have seen in our practice many, many times over the effect of not doing that regularly and proactively. We've seen our clients run into very serious situations where they do something with the blessing of their tax professional, and it is almost catastrophic to their business. Because here's the deal: tax professionals, tax preparers, tax planners, they're great at what they do. When it comes to giving holistic business advice, they are generally not that good, because they are looking at it through one lens, and that is the financial lens. They're not necessarily looking at it through the operating lens, the cyclical lens, the economy is taking a turn lens, or what have you. And so we've seen clients get advice from their tax professionals, and it was absolutely horrible advice that caused our clients to have to lend money back to the business, to almost, you know, not be able to make payroll because they took too big of a distribution because they weren't doing cash flow planning. So it's not the funnest thing in the world to talk about, but it's certainly fun when it lands an extra 50 or 100 or a few hundred thousand dollars in your pocket. So none of us are going to complain about that.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. So let's kind of jump in, Landon, and talk about some of the most overlooked tax deductions. And one of them that's on this list is actually the one that we hear most often from our clients, right? They're meeting with their CPA, and my CPA said, "Hey, it looks like you had a great year. Revenue looks strong. Your expenses were pretty good in line. And so it's looking like your taxes are going to be pretty hefty this year. Do you need anything? Do you need to buy a new truck? Do you need to buy some piece of new equipment? Can we buy such and such this year? You don't have to pay cash for it. You just have to buy it this year." That's typically the one thing that's thrown out there. And that's depreciating, right? So that's section 179 as a deduction, where you can depreciate that asset either fully or in a you know, high percentage in the year that you acquired that asset. And there are certain rules that have to be met from a vehicle standpoint. It's got to weigh a certain amount in order to qualify, et cetera, et cetera. But that's kind of the go-to one that most CPAs at least will bring up. Is that fair to say, Landon?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not that is a bad thing per se. It's that generally tends to be like a forced conversation. So it's November, it's December, and you're realizing your gut is telling you that, oh man, I think the business really did well this year. I'm going to make a lot of money, get a big tax bill. I better go talk to my CPA with only 30 or 45 days left in the year and figure out how I reduce my tax bill. That's generally how the conversation goes, as opposed to being more proactive and having a 30-minute conversation maybe once a quarter or even twice a year would generally be sufficient. So call it May, June, July, and then have another one in, you know, October, November. Don't ever wait. Don't ever wait till December to have that conversation, because it's just not smart. Your back is against the wall. You've got very limited time to really understand what some good options are on the table. So don't wait till December. At the very least, have this conversation with your tax professional. And if you're only going to do it once a year, do it in September or October. That way you've got a good, you know, you've got plenty of roadway in the rear view mirror, and then you've got enough roadway through the windshield to be able to make a good decision.
Yeah. You know, I think that's great advice. I think looking at everything at kind of the end of each quarter is a good way to kind of look forward and say, okay, we've finished this last quarter. So we've closed the books. So that means that you've closed the books on the fourth quarter in January, or at the very latest beginning of February, you should be meeting with your tax professional to talk about some tax planning strategies, forecasting what the year is going to look like, looking at what, how the last quarter ended and how the year ended, and start to make plans for the coming year. Right. And we would recommend, and we've mentioned this multiple times on the episodes before, that you're meeting with your financial planner and your CPA together at least one time a year to have these discussions, because you mentioned not waiting till December. And what happens is they'll have these conversations with their CPA separate from their financial planner. So in our case, that would be us. And then they call us and say, hey, I talked to my CPA. He says I need to reduce taxes. He mentioned this, this, and this. What do you think? Are there strategies that you have, things that you would recommend that we do? Well, if that's in December, it causes a massive rush for us to try to do something for year end. Now, there are some things that can be done right up until the tax deadline, up until April 15th, right? But many of the tax strategies are based on the end of the fiscal year. And in most cases, most businesses, their fiscal year ends December 31st. So it's either rushing something and trying to kind of fit a square peg in a round hole, or try to make it work really quickly. Whereas if it's planned appropriately throughout the year, it's not going to create an emergency for anybody. And you're going to get better holistic advice if you're meeting with both your financial planner and your CPA together.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Obviously there's a benefit if your financial planning team has a lot of experience working with small business owners, because there's going to be a big advantage there. Most financial planners do not have that experience, but certainly it's better to do it than to not do it, regardless of this, of the experience that they have working with small business owners. All right. So you mentioned depreciation, 179 deductions. Let's just like rattle off a few other ones. And if there's any that we want to dive deeper into, then we certainly can. R&D tax credits, or just tax credits in general, those can be pretty powerful. You want to be extremely cautious in using credits, because we've seen credits get used with clients and ultimately they had to like recapture some of those credits for one reason or another. So if you're going to go the route of taking advantage of either R&D credits or some kind of other tax credits, do so with a firm that has a lot of experience with credits. Again, the CPA that you use to do your taxes every year, they're going to know something about credits, but they are not going to be an expert in credits. I can almost guarantee that. So you want to use a firm that does tax credits all day long, so that you can be aware of the pitfalls and also make sure that you're taking advantage of credits responsibly. Health insurance, HSA contributions, retirement plan contributions, these are all great benefits to your team. Also, they happen to be good deductions as well. Business travel and meals. This is kind of an interesting one. Professional development and business coaching. I can't think of a time in my career since I started working as a professional, 16-ish years ago. I can't think of a time that I have not had some form of business coaching, professional development. Maybe it was one-on-one, maybe it was more cohort-based. Maybe it was digital, maybe it was in person, maybe it was do it yourself, maybe it was being guided by somebody. But I just can't say enough about that. I think every entrepreneur, really regardless of what stage that you're at, could be engaging in some kind of coaching or either business or personal development. And certainly those are expenses you can run through the business. So that's a great thing to do. Like, let's say that you meet with your CPA in September, October, and you realize that you're going to get hit with a big tax bill, and that could be an opportunity to engage with a coach, and maybe that coach's fee is going to be $25,000 for the year. And instead of paying them $2,000 a month, maybe you make a deal with the coach and say, hey, your fee is generally $2,000 a month for the year. What if I pay you upfront? Would you discount that to maybe $1,500 a month or something like that? So you get rid of a bigger chunk of cash, but you get to take advantage of a nice deduction, and that results in hopefully a great service for you as well.
Yeah, I think you make a great point there, Land, and I won't push anymore on the coaching or the being part of business owner groups or whatever, because you already know how I feel about that. But the thing that brings to mind for me is, it's not just about the tax deduction. Don't just spend money on something because it's going to be a tax deduction. Spend money on something that's important to the business, that will push the business forward, you as a leader forward, you as the owner forward, you as the manager forward, whatever, something that's going to make the business better. Don't just spend money because you don't want to send it to the IRS, right? The reality is, we all have taxes that we're going to have to pay. We can't zero out our taxes. I actually was on a radio program here locally last week, and I talked a little bit about this subject. And we've had a client in the past say, well, Jeff Bezos doesn't pay any taxes, and I don't want to pay any taxes just like Jeff Bezos, right? Well, that's great, right? Like, in order for that to actually be the case, and first of all, I'd argue that Jeff Bezos pays a lot of taxes. Amazon pays a lot of taxes, payroll taxes, a lot of other taxes, period, right? But in order to even deploy the strategies that Jeff Bezos and others like him deploy, you have to own a lot of stock in a publicly traded organization, because they have some strategies that are available to them that aren't available to everybody else. And so get comfortable with the fact that you are going to pay taxes. It is a blessing, right? Now, this is not a strategy. We've had a CPA recently tell one of our clients that it's just a blessing to pay a lot in taxes, because it means you're successful. Just accept it and write the check. That I don't agree with, right? But as a business owner, you're hoping to be successful, and so you will pay your fair share in taxes. There's nothing patriotic about paying more than your fair share. So deploy all the strategies that you can, but we are going to end up paying some taxes regardless. And so we just have to get comfortable with that and understand that that's part of our duty as American citizens, to pay a portion of our income to taxes, to make sure that we have roads and bridges and tunnels and electrical grids and all that kind of stuff.
So you're saying we need to be strategic in the timing of our income and expenses. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, that was a nice segue. Good job, buddy.
Yeah, thank you. So we talked about accelerating some expenses. That can be a great thing to consider doing. As Austin mentioned, I'll say it just differently. You don't want to let the tax tail wag the dog. There you have it, Austin, one of my regular sayings.
Yeah.
You know, so let's double click on that for a second, because I just thought about an example that we can use to really drive home the importance of not doing that and not spending money carelessly just to reduce your tax bill. So let's walk through just a really quick example, Austin. So somebody wants to sell their business, or maybe even worse, has to sell their business. Maybe it's a partner dispute, a health issue, a divorce, something like that. And the business needs to be sold, but without kind of being strategic and thoughtful about that, you have been spending money over the last couple of years every year to just reduce your tax bill, but with no clear reasoning behind wanting to spend that money other than to reduce your tax bill. So let's just say hypothetically that you do that every year for 3 years and you spend $100,000 each year. Okay. The $100,000, again, this is just back of the napkin math here. So Austin, if you spend $100,000 to reduce your tax bill for your business in a given year, what might that result in a tax savings? Maybe 20, 30 grand?
Yeah, it depends on what your tax bracket is, right? But if you're in the highest tax bracket today from a federal standpoint, that saves you $37,000 in taxes.
Okay. All right, got it. So $37,000. Okay. All right. So let's say this business hypothetically does $1 million a year in profit. So generally speaking, a business that does $1 million a year in profit will probably sell between 3.5 and maybe $5 million typically. Now, could there be other scenarios? Yeah, absolutely. But generally speaking, 3.5 to 5 million bucks. So if you have $1 million of profit and you spend $100,000 a year to reduce your tax, which obviously reduces your profit, how could that 100 grand reduce your profit for a year, Austin?
What do you mean?
Like if you spend $100,000 to reduce your tax liability, how would that result in decreasing your profit in a given year?
Oh, it's dollar for dollar. You go from $1 million to 900,000 in profit.
Okay. So $1 million to 900,000. Okay. So now we've got 3 years that we did this. So we've got $300,000. Let's meet in the middle and say that the business would sell at a 4 multiple. $300,000 times 4 is $1.2 million potentially lost in enterprise value when you go to sell your business because you wanted to save $30,000 a year in taxes. So that's a bit of an extreme example, but that is essentially how it works. Because when you're reducing your profitability every year and then you go to sell your business, if it's a legitimate expense, then you can't add that back. You can't recapture that profit when you're going to sell your business. So that is extremely important, especially if you are thinking about selling your business in the next 3 to 5 years.
Yep. That's the downfall, right? Of trying to reduce your taxes as much as you possibly can by throwing everything in there. Then it actually shows that your financials are not as good as they could be. And that ultimately reduces the amount that you can sell the business for. So you mentioned add backs, they can be added back in certain things, but you got to be really careful with the way that you do that. So don't try to get overly aggressive because it could cost you a whole lot more in the future for sure. So real quick in this section, I want to hit one more thing. So we were going to mention bonus depreciation, but I'm going to mention bonus depreciation, but in an interesting way, and that's through a cost segregation study. Mm. So if you're a business owner that owns property, right? You have real estate that you either own through the business or hopefully through a separate entity that then rents back to the business. That's a conversation for another time, but you can do a cost segregation study on a building that allows you to bonus depreciate that building. So buildings, don't quote me. I'm not a tax professional that does this every single day, but I think buildings depreciate over like 27 or 28 years, something like that. But what happens in a cost segregation study is they look at all of the independent parts of that building and they segregate it based on their lifetime. And so like electricity, for example, plumbing, all those types of things have different lifespans than maybe the steel building that you're in. And so by segregating that out, eliminating land, all that kind of stuff, it allows you to depreciate that building overall in a much faster fashion. And you're able to then actually reduce your taxes for a certain number of years. For several years in a row, you may be able to bonus depreciate a large part of that building. That could save you taxes in 1 year rather than over 28 years, so to speak. So hopefully I'm right on the 28 years. Doesn't really matter. It's a long period of time and you're able to shorten that. And that saves you a tremendous amount in taxes there on that building. So just something to think about if you own buildings. Go ahead, Lannon. There was something else I was going to mention, but it just left my mind.
Yeah. Well, we're getting a little tight on time. So we'll kind of go through our last couple sections here real quick. We already talked about year-round tax planning. And remember, when you're having a tax planning session, loop in, obviously this should generally be led by either your financial planning team or of course your tax professional team, whether it's a CPA, if you've got a good bookkeeper, maybe it's even a controller in your company, assuming that they've got information relative to your personal situation. But that doesn't need to be some big, long, drawn out conversation. It can be a 15 to 30 minute quarterly conversation to say, hey, this is where we were at this past quarter. This is where we see things looking for the next quarter. What are some things that we need to be aware of? What are some things we should be thinking about? What are some potential strategies or solutions that we should consider? Now, you don't have to do anything, but just being educated on your options empowers you to make better decisions. So have that 15 to 30 minute quarterly conversation. If you're not going to do that, because I get it, some people listening are like, yeah, I'm never going to do that. That's fine. At least do it once per year in or around September, October, so that you've got plenty of time behind you and you've got enough time in front of you to do something about it.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And just to kind of take that a little bit step, you know, a little step further, what do you discuss in that meeting? So you're reviewing your P&L for the year or for the quarter. You're making sure that you're keeping detailed records and that your records are up to snuff, so to speak, so that they can give you the right type of advice. And one thing that you may want to be looking at, you know, obviously you're not going to do this every single year, but in the next meeting that you have with your tax professional, talk to them about the business entity structure that you have and how you're taxed. Mm-hmm. Like, you may be an LLC. Most businesses are an LLC, but are you taxed as a partnership? Are you taxed as an S corp? Should you be a C corp based on the type of business that you're in? Those types of things can make a huge difference in the way that your taxes are handled and what it means to the bottom line every single year. So mm-hmm. just something to keep in mind. We've had this conversation multiple times with different clients who have changed from being taxed as a partnership or as a sole proprietorship, for example, and going to an S corp. We have some clients that recently have set up a C corp for at least one division of their company because it was beneficial to do that. There's a lot of different reasons to do that, and make sure that you don't just, hey, I'm an LLC, it's simple, it's easy. Yeah, we should be using the S election. Well, it's not that simple. You got to dive in a little bit further and ask some further questions and make sure that the tax professional that you're having a conversation with and your financial professional that they're having this conversation together, that they truly understand enough about your business and how you operate to give you advice on which entity structure you should be choosing.
Yeah, no doubt. That's a good point. And if you are doing something complex, like reorganizing your entity structure, stripping out a division and putting it into its own entity, something pretty, pretty complex, you are going to need a tax attorney, not just a tax professional who prepares taxes or gives you some advice around tax planning. Like, yeah, you need a highly qualified tax attorney to plug them into the team, because they will be invaluable to your more complicated tax scenarios. All right. So as we wrap up here, let's just kind of talk about what are some actionable steps you can take away today. So get that quarterly review scheduled, rope in your financial advisor, your wealth management team, obviously your tax professional. If it's something that feels a little bit more complex, find a tax attorney to get involved in that conversation from day one. We talked about tracking expenses properly. So I will say this, if your bookkeeper isn't able to close your books out in 1 to 2 weeks after the end of each month, there's one of two things are happening. One is you're not giving them the information they need on time in order to close out your book. So fix that. Two, they have the information that they need and they're just too busy, or they're stretched too thin, or they are not a great bookkeeper. But regardless, your goal should always be to get your books closed out like in the middle of the month for the previous month at the latest. There's so many business owners that we see. We are meeting with business owners regularly to invest the fund that we have raised. And I cannot tell you how often we meet with these sellers of their businesses. These are multi-million dollar businesses for sale, and they don't even have their books current for the previous month, or in a lot of cases, not even the previous quarter, sometimes not even the previous year. So keep your books and your financial records current. That is huge.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you want more of these types of strategies, subscribe to Tycoons of Small Biz. Stay ahead of financial planning for your business growth. So just kind of a quick recap. So it's not just about paying less. It's about keeping more to grow your business. So if you're doing it, make sure that there's a strategic reason for doing it. And then our next episode is going to be a deep dive into tax savings case studies. We're going to actually share some case studies of clients that we've worked with and some different things that we've done with them alongside their tax professionals. So subscribe, leave us a review, share this episode with some other business owners, engage with us on LinkedIn. We love putting this content out there. Hopefully you find it beneficial, and we hope you have a great day.
Yep. To your success.
You've been listening to Tycoons of Small Biz, a podcast for small business owners by small business owners. Be sure to follow us on our social media channels for links to all our episodes and great content around growing, investing in, buying, and selling small businesses. This podcast is distributed for informational purposes only. Statements made in the podcast are not to be construed as personalized investment or financial planning advice, may not be suitable for everyone, and should not be considered as solicitation to engage in any particular investing or planning strategy. Listeners should conduct their own review and exercise judgment, or consult with their professional financial advisor to see how the information contained in this podcast may apply to their own individual circumstances. All investing involves risk of loss, including the possible loss of principal. Past performance does not guarantee future results, and nothing in this podcast should be construed as a guarantee of any specific outcome or profit. All market indices discussed are unmanaged, do not incur management fees, costs, and expenses, and cannot be invested into directly. Investment advisory services offered by Backbone Planning Partners, LLC. Neither Backbone Planning Partners, LLC, nor its representative provide legal or accounting advice. The content of this podcast represents the views and opinions of Austin Peterson and Landon Mance, and or the podcast guest, and do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Backbone Planning Partners, LLC. Statements made in this podcast are subject to change without notice. Neither Backbone Planning Partners, LLC, nor its representatives, the podcast host, or its guests have an obligation to provide revised statements in the event of changed circumstances.